The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Game week is here. Not in the SEC just yet, but not too far off either. It's the Chuck Oliver Show. Executive producer Dan Matthews in for Chuck again today. Chuck, I think just one more day. You know, just one more DMP coach's decision. He's got the suit on. He's at the end of the bench. He'll stand up, you know, come over during timeouts, everything really quick, maybe offer a couple of pointers, but then, you know, go back to the bench. Maybe the trainer will try to hand him a cup of Gatorade, and he's like, no, I'm good. I'm not playing. I'm good today. I'm just relaxing. I'm taking in the game. I'm almost kind of – even the NBA, you get two or three full-time assistants on the bench along with the head coach. So he's kind of a fourth full-time assistant today, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, Chuck is taking the day off. We've got week zero games tomorrow. We'll chop into that a little bit. And then, of course, in earnest on Monday, it is the first full game week of 2021 college football. By the way, did you guys know now until at least January, I believe even February as well, that there is not going to be a single Saturday without college football? How are we feeling? How are we feeling? How are we liking hearing that? I think we're feeling pretty good about that. We've got a pretty good show coming up for you. Bottom of this hour, Woody Womack of Rivals. He's going to be joining us. Let's talk some Cruton. Because even though the season is underway, you're still going to have the visits going. You're still going to have all of those things coming your way. High school football is already underway. Speaking of high school football, it's already started up in some states. I know for me, I was born and raised in Texas, and Texas was always Labor Day weekend is when they got started. Now I'm in Georgia. Last weekend was the Corky Kell Classic in the Atlanta area, and that's always a huge weekend for high school football in the area, and it continues on this week because I believe last week was their week zero. And in some states, too, they have their week zero of playing those games where maybe they'll bring in American Heritage from Fort Lauderdale or maybe even IMG or a couple of the other huge schools from around the country, De La Salle, Mater Dei, whoever it is. They'll bring them in and play a game, and ESPN will show up, do all that kind of stuff. But anyway, high school football is underway, and it's beautiful. But, like, to me, I think that high school football, like this weekend in early September, there's just something especially extra special about it. Where I get it, you want the weather to be cooler during football season, all that kind of stuff. But I always loved the early season games because it was still enough of the excitement of summer. School year was new enough, so you weren't completely worn down just yet. And it was the first holiday that you had coming up on Monday. So it was like, let's have some fun. Let's enjoy this. Let's really get after it this weekend. So that's a lot of fun. And I know that Rush Probst and the Valdosta little kind of new edition of Two-A-Days on Netflix has come out. I didn't have a chance to watch it this morning. I know it just came out today. So going to have a chance to check that out. And by the way, kudos and huge shout out to the producer of the show who reached out to me on Twitter, because last Friday night I was wondering aloud on Twitter, can you stream the show Two-A-Days anywhere? Because I want to go back and watch that old show on MTV. And it turns out that the producer of this, I believe it's called Title Town is the name of it, for the Valdosta season on Netflix. And it's the same production crew that did Two-A-Days. So it's kind of going to be another version of Two-A-Days. So looking forward to that. And he sent me, yeah, you can still get it on DVD. But then I didn't have the heart to say it where I was like, I don't even know if I have a DVD player anymore. How weird is that to think? That like DVDs are kind of like outdated now. Oh, man, that's so weird. But anyway, we're going to talk some recruiting bottom of this hour to Woody Womack of Rivals. Top of next hour, Tim Hall of the Buckeye Show on 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. He's going to join us. We're going to chop into some Buckeye football. Ohio State's supposed to have a strong crew this year, so we'll see exactly how good they are. And Connor O'Gara of Saturday Down South, he is going to join us as he not only does the written word there on Saturday Down South, but also too, pretty good little podcast that he does with Will Ogburn there on SDS. As this week they had Lauren Sisler, who is a sideline reporter for ESPN, and she was awesome. She's great. And then Gary Stokin, Smoking Gary Stokin. Always love hearing from Gary Stokin. So go check that out with the Saturday Down South podcast. But I want to start today with something that we've been talking about. And that is, of course, in this part of the country where we are SEC heavy and ACC heavy. Well, I mean, in this case right here, we're going to leave the second part of that out because you're on the wrong side of this. And that is the alliance. And we have the press conference earlier in the week, and there's a timeline that you have to kind of understand with how all of this has played out. And we have to go back to last year and how it started. But this is kind of going to be, I guess, like an episode of NCIS, where those of you that have ever watched the show, NCIS, I'm talking about the original with Mark Harmon and crew. And that was the show that would show you kind of a foreshadowing capture of a scene. And you're like, okay, we'll look for that. Like Gibbs is on the ground holding his head. That's Mark Harmon. You know, he got hit with something. And you're like, okay. This scene, I got to look out for somebody jumping out and hitting Gibbs in the head with something. And that was really what we had to find out last year with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 deciding what they did and the SEC saying, nope, we're going to wait. We're going to talk to those people over there, the medical experts, and we're going to continue to have dialogue with our presidents and with our athletic directors and with our head coaches and figure out if indeed a football season can be played, which they found out soon enough. Yes, it could. Yeah, there were interruptions, there were cancellations, all those different types of things. Sure, who didn't have to endure that last season? But they still went through with it and largely went through with it pretty safely. So what this really comes down to earlier in the week with the press conference is the whole, quote, shared values of the Big Ten, Pac-12, and ACC. It really just led me to start off the show today by saying Greg Sankey wins, and he wins again, and it's not even close. Let's examine the tape, shall we? The alliance forming is an absolute joke. And this is all really coming from one standpoint for at least two people in this, because George Kliavkov, whether he likes to or not, has fully accepted now they're the underdogs backed in the corner with the Pac-12, and Larry Scott put them in a really tough spot, especially in football. So now it's pretty much going nuclear loosh, announcing his presence with authority and coming in and calling out the SEC. And, hey, we'll have a plan for expansion next week. We're not going to expand, but we'll get to that in just a second. So he's joining up here. And Kevin Warren last year thinking, I'm going to pull a power move right here. We're not going to play college football. And as a matter of fact, we're going to put the pressure on everybody else to make sure they don't play. And the Pac-12 with Larry Scott, who seriously had no idea where to go with football, said, you're right, Kevin. It's not safe. We're going to back off, too. We're not going to play. They not only were woefully underprepared for what was going to happen next, they were underprepared for what was going to happen in their own conference, where you had your own players, your own coaches, even in some cases ADs coming out against you. And then, oh, by the way, Kevin Warren, corner office there, suburban Chicago, Big Ten offices. What's that I hear in the background? Oh, that's parents of players outside saying, let us play. You had your own conferences, players, parents, coming to your building. And I know that he's talked about as well. I think that I saw a quote from him where he talked about, yeah, my son's an SEC graduate and now has a graduate transfer at Michigan State. Okay, cool. Great. Does that ingratiate you to the SEC after you had met with everybody else? And Greg Sankey even, I don't know if he's brought it up, but that was what was brought up last year where it was, hey, we're all going to make this decision together. And then you broke the ranks. And when that happened, Greg Sankey did the opposite of what you guys are doing now. He didn't get emotional. He got calculated. And when you get with somebody who is not emotional and is calculated, and you're uncalculated and you're emotional, the odds are not in your favor. So Kevin Warren still feels pretty put out, and you've got Kliavkov doing what he's doing. Then it gets to the Jim Phillips portion of this with the ACC. Buddy, you're on the wrong side, and you're on the wrong side because of another emotion that you cannot have in these situations, and that is fear. Because whether Jim Phillips wants to admit it or not, he's fearful that Clemson and Florida State or North Carolina or whoever who is the difference maker in his conference eventually is going to say, Birmingham, they're paying out that money? Ooh, I like that. Now, I know the grants of rights deal is still till 2035, but still, gosh, that's a lot of money. And they're winning over there. They're doing all those things. Kind of like that. I think I want to be a part of that. That's fear. And he's picking the wrong side. The SEC proved their dominance this offseason by picking up Texas and OU. There is no question about that. The Alliance wants to say shared values. And the Greg Sankey's point, too, we're twofold with this. And again, you want to talk about not only a plus 97, 98 mile an hour fastball that he's throwing, he's got a hard biting slider. And he's also got another off-speed pitch that he's coming out of the bullpen with. And he's continuing to show it, where he pointed out to the Big Ten, the Pac-12. And I don't necessarily know if he was coming at the ACC with this, but it was the last round of expansion. You guys were pretty active. And you wanted to be able to make sure that you were the one benefiting and taking from others in that case. And then the other one as well is, we heard it yesterday here on the show, where he said, would any of you have necessarily passed this up? You're being very dishonest. That's me saying this. You're being very dishonest if you would get a call from Texas or OU and say, yeah, no, we're good here. You think that George Kliavkov, if he got a call from a 512, that's the Austin area code, a 512 number, that he would say, yeah, you know what, we're good. I think we're going to stand pat with Arizona State and Arizona and Colorado and Utah and USC and UCLA and the Oregon schools and the Washington schools. I think we're good here. Don't need you. We're good. I would want him out of the chair if that were the case. Or even if he got a call from OU. In this case, it was a package deal. And they came to Greg Sankey, and Sankey played it perfectly, where it was out of the public. It was completely behind closed doors. And then when the time came, he said, okay, here's that slider after I just busted you inside with 98 miles an hour. Like I said, emotional decisions do not win. And now the best part of all of this is Gordon Gee, who is he's no friend of the SEC. Remember, too, I believe it was when he was at Ohio State where he had the line, tell the SEC when they learn how to read, line that he had. Guess what, Gordon? They've learned how to read, and they learned how to read and write a long time ago, and they've learned how to read and write so much that this is the second year in a row that they've absolutely taken it to you. And in this case right here, Gordon, you're not even part of this fight right now. You're trying to survive and probably trying to find a home somewhere else. And there's some news that came out earlier today with the Big 12 that we'll get to a little bit later on in CFB 365. But Gordon Gee saying that playoff expansion is on life support. Guess what, Gordon? You wanted it. And Greg Sankey, as a matter of fact, pointed that out earlier this week on the Paul Feinbaum show. Here it is.
We're here because presidents on the CFP Board of Managers very clearly said, and by the way, it wasn't the Southeastern Conference presidential representative. We want to see that format, and we want to see it now. And so here we are, and I look forward to the conversation. Now, I watched yesterday and tried to figure out if we have kind of groupthink taking place around the college football playoff. It doesn't seem that way. I think everyone's right. Kevin Warren, George Kliavkoff, Jim Phillips, Greg Sankey, Bob Bowlsby, the other five commissioners, and Jack Swarbrick to think carefully about what we do with the college football playoff now and into the future.
Unemotional. It's business. And that's the way you've got to be. In active negotiations, or in this case, right now, probably inactive negotiations, because that's not necessarily being talked about. But it's also, too, him pointing out, hey, they wanted playoff expansion. Over here in the SEC, we're good. We've had two teams in the Final Four. We could do it again. We have no problem with that. Pac-12, you got a problem getting in. Big Ten, a couple of times, you've had a problem getting in. Big 12, you've had a problem at times getting in. The very first time you had a problem getting in with TCU and Baylor, they didn't get in because you didn't have a championship. That's your problem. That's not the SEC. That's not anybody else's problem but yourself. And now George Kliavkoff yesterday, this was the best part of all of this. I seriously feel like when some of these headlines come out that it's an Onion article being published, because he says that they don't want to expand right now. You don't want to expand right now because you don't have a dance partner that is viable enough to be able to compete with who they just picked up. TCU? Please. Texas Tech? Try again. Oklahoma State? Come on, what are we doing here? You're not going to be adding anybody that's moving the meter, and you know that, and you don't want to look like a fool, which I will give credit where credit's due on that. Finally, somebody made an unemotional decision in that regard and said, yeah, look, you know, it's not the strongest play, but it's the play we have right now. What's the rule when you're at the poker table? If you have a hand that can't win, fold. And I'll give him credit for that. At least he did that. The thing is, when you have leverage, use it. And Greg Sankey has leverage. He has the shell. This started last year with Kevin Warren in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, also with then Larry Scott. It's only going to continue.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
For Finley to come in and just kind of nip at Bo's heels, provide that positive pressure, and make Bo feel like he's got to be on the top of his game every single practice, or else there's somebody who is pretty capable who's going to be there and take his job, I think that's been a real positive.
He's not wrong. Nathan King, 24/7 Sports, joined us yesterday on the show. And look, it's not only going to be T.J. Finley there, and Aaron Murray recently brought this up too, which we're going to talk about Aaron Murray a little bit later on. I'll tell you a reason why. But he, of course, played for Mike Bobo at Georgia, and he talked about how Mike Bobo, it's not easy to play quarterback for him because he's a former quarterback, and he's not easy on his quarterbacks. As a matter of fact, I remember sitting in the Sanford Stadium press box, and Murray had made a mistake in a game with something, a read or something. I heard clear as day a yell out, "Murray!" So, some tough coaching for Bo Nix. Can you take it?
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show, the final Friday without college football. Can we say that too? I mean, we're in a lot of good finals right here, because usually when, like, you know, people say final this, final that, you're like, aw, that sucks. That's not good. Anyway, let's get into some recruiting talk as we bring on right now a really good man. I mean, a really, really good man, because he's doing this interview right now from a very unique place. Woody Womack of Rivals.com. Woody, do you care to tell people where you're doing this interview from right now?
Oh, I'm out on the golf course, you know, Dan. I got to get a little golf in. I got, you said, the season starting. Weekends are going to be busy. I got games on Friday, Saturday. So, yeah, I'm taking advantage of getting 18 in down here in Orlando before I go watch some guys play tonight.
Now, in fairness to, and Woody, you can back me up on this, or you can completely throw me under the bus. When I reached out and asked if you could do it, you're like, yeah, I'm on the golf course. I'm like, dude, free time is precious, especially right now. Take advantage. But you're like, no, we're good. We're good. So I guess with that being said, how's the round going? Is it going pretty decent? Are you feeling pretty good? We didn't stop your rhythm, did we?
No, I'm on like 13 right now. I'm kind of fading here on the back nine, but luckily the guy I'm playing with is terrible, so I'm up like 9 strokes on him. So that's all that matters. It's all relative to your competition, so.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Woody Womack, Rivals.com, joining us here, as he mentioned, down in Florida to cover some recruiting. Who you got an eye on tonight?
I'm going to see Sam McCall. He's committed to Florida State and doesn't do a lot of stuff in the offseason. He's a DB. We got him ranked, you know, top 50. Question is should he be in that five-star conversation? He's playing against a quarterback who's going to USF, so he should get tested in the passing game. You know, sometimes you're going to watch these DBs and they don't get targeted the whole game, but he'll get targeted tonight. We'll get a chance to watch him and kind of see how that goes. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and the last couple of years, it seems like, Woody, that Mike Norvell has been able to get some serious recruiting momentum going. I mean, where you had a pretty decent class last year. Right now, they seem like they've got a pretty good one, as you mentioned, one of the players that you've got an eye on tonight. But what are they selling down in Tallahassee, and what's hitting with recruits?
Well, you know, the new coaches, it's always hope. Like, if a new coach comes in and doesn't have a good class right away, you know, I'm looking at you, Josh Heupel. maybe you should be a little nervous. But Norvell's got, even though he didn't have a great year last year, you know, of course we had the COVID excuse, but they've got the momentum and they've got the buzz factor. Now the question is, does that change 4 or 5 games in the season? I don't know, but you know, with Travis Hunter leading the class, I mean, we saw what he did at Corky Kell. I mean, the dude is just amazing on both sides of the ball, and he's kind of leading the charge for that class. A.J. Duffy, the quarterback, is also someone that I like a lot. So, you know, when you have leaders of a class, it really helps. And I just think right now optimism is there, but they definitely got to show progress on the field, especially compared to last year.
And, I mean, you mentioned Travis Hunter, and, yeah, I mean, outstanding performance last week against Brookwood in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the Corky Kell Classic. I mean, you know, it's just for a guy like him, I mean, you know, you're watching McCall tonight. I mean, how huge are those guys in terms of not only, hey, they're there, but also actively being out and saying, come join us?
Yeah, I mean, he's the perfect guy to represent the class. I mean, obviously, you want the quarterback, you know, you want a 5-star quarterback. You want Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or someone like that, you know, to be the guy. But when you have someone as special as him, it doesn't matter that he's only playing, that he's a wide receiver or a DB or whatever you want him to be. He just has the it factor. The kids like him. He's big on social media. And more importantly, he backs it up. I mean, to be named the number one player in the country and then come out in your first game and go over 200 yards, get a pick, throw a touchdown. I mean, it's just like, you know, what a statement he made in that first week.
Woody Womack, Rivals, joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan Matthews in for Chuck today. And overall, I mean, I know, Woody, we're early on in the recruiting process, but kind of a broad view question here for teams. Who right now probably is usually a lot further ahead this time of year in terms of their classes that probably you're looking at and saying, wow, they've got some room to make up, and normally they don't this time of year?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mentioned Tennessee. I mean, you know, the UCF fans will tell you that Heupel wasn't recruiting good enough when he was there, especially the last couple, you know, the last year or last class or so. And now, you know, Tennessee's got the sanctions hanging over their head, which really hurts. And they're in the discussion for Walter Nolan, who's the 5-star, you know, and I think they have a good chance at landing him. But you want to see, like, you know, you want to see their offense got to be sold to recruits, because we know that regardless of who's playing for them, they're going to put up points and put up big yards and put receivers in the NFL. So you kind of wonder, like, how do they get into discussion for some of those elite guys? You know, they missed on someone like Sam Horn, Travis Hunter's quarterback, who's going to Missouri. And you can't afford to do that, and you can't afford to not. I mean, I think they don't have commitments from any of the top 15 players in the state of Tennessee, which is just ridiculous. You can't do that. We know Tennessee's not, you know, a class where you're going to take 10 guys, but you can't have guys going to Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, and stuff like that right in your backyard.
Walter Nolan, I mean, speaking of their backyard, I mean, their own state, Walter Nolan, a guy right there out of Powell, Tennessee, 6'4", 325-pound defensive lineman. I mean, any hope for them? Or are they kind of hoping, well, he's an in-state guy, maybe he wants to play for us?
Well, you know, it looked like they were completely out of it, but then, you know, old Rodney Garner got involved, and some reason tells me they're really trending. I mean, it looked like he was going to go to Florida. Then he puts out a top three, and Florida's not in it. Then he says, oh, even though I put out a top three, I'm still open to all schools. And he's just kind of all over the place. But the fact that he moved from Memphis to Knoxville, you know, I mean, we've been doing this long enough to say that, okay, that's a sign. So I wouldn't count them out there. But and that's the kind of guy they need to get. But it's just like, I want more consistency across the board from them.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, Woody Womack joining us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Find him on Twitter. He does great work on the recruiting trail at Rivals Woody. Woody, just a couple more before we get you back. 3 or 4. Let's see. You said you're on 13, so 5 more holes to go there. So we'll get you back to the game pretty quickly. And a strong finish here, especially after this. You're able to take a quick breather. But on the other side, I said the ones who are underperforming. Who's ones that you look at right now and say, wow, that's impressive. They're off to a good start.
Well, I mentioned, you know, Missouri getting Sam Horn. I really like what they're doing in their class. They're heavily in the mix for Luther Burden, who's a five-star out of St. Louis. And I really like their class. Like, I think they're kind of a team that we're not hearing enough about. Like, I just like the way they played last year under Drinkwitz. I like the way they're recruiting. I just feel like they could be a sleeper team, that kind of like they were when they first came in the SEC, where they kind of would pop up and win 8, 9, 10 games. I feel like they could easily win 8 games this year and surprise a lot of people. And then Kentucky, I mean, once again, you know, Mark Stoops just kind of operates a certain way. He does a great job of evaluating. I mean, it seems like they have 3 stars getting drafted every year, getting some big names. They got a pair of 4 stars out of Tennessee. They're doing a good job in the 8 of Kentucky, where there's a few elite guys, and I really like what Kentucky's been able to do also.
Final one for you. Bear Alexander was a Georgia commit at one time, now looking like he's an A&M lean. Do you feel like that lean comes to fruition?
Yeah, I just think, I mean, you know, this is nothing against Georgia, but from the moment he committed to Georgia, you're like, you know, he's probably not going to go there. Like, just, I got the sense that, you know, that was before they could take visits. I just knew that the Texas schools weren't going to let him get away. I mean, despite what Georgia's been able to do, I just think A&M's kind of been the leader now for 6 months or so, and I think they're going to end up landing him.
Woody, I promised you 10 minutes. I think I got you out of here in 9.5. So, you know, definitely, hopefully it leads to a good finish to the round. But, man, I appreciate it. And I think we can say this is a first interview on the Chuck Oliver Show on a golf course. So really appreciate your time, and best of luck on the coverage tonight.
All right, thanks, Dan.
I appreciate it. Woody Womack again, Rivals.com. You can find him on Twitter at RivalsWoody. And I think that last part is something that's really important to point out when it comes to recruiting, as we hear it all the time. You know, the saying, follow the money. In recruiting, it's follow the visits. Because find out right before commitment time, where was that last official visit? How did that last official visit go? Because if it went really well, if there is any certain uncertainty when it comes to signing day of where said prospect is going to lean, chances are a lot of times they're going to be leaning towards the last one that courted them and showed you, hey, this is how great our school is. This is how great our facilities are. This is what we see for you in the future. And with Florida State, too, what he was just talking about, I mean, selling the future is something that Mike Norvell, because I've talked about before, when you're in a little bit of a tailspin as a program, that it's huge to be able to, number one, come in and stop the bleeding. And as a coach, like I said, number two, come in, figure out what you have, figure out what you don't have, and work within the first category that I just mentioned right there. And Mike Norvell seemingly has done both of those things, because had a decent recruiting class in 2021, the way things are looking right now for 2022, it looks like that Florida State could be very much on the path towards getting back to where they need to be, and that is respectability. And not only just respectability, you talk about the ACC in football. Sorry, Clemson, but I think of Florida State. And Florida State's got to even be able to get into the conversation, because of right now, it is Clemson far and above everybody else. Little by little, North Carolina's getting there. Miami's in there a little bit too. FSU, you need to be on that same level. You even need to be higher. All right, coming up next, say it ain't so. Could this be a difference maker in the 2021 season? And it's something that I don't think you're necessarily thinking about just yet. It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck Oliver here on a Friday. This is the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Could defenses return in 2021? You didn't mistake what I just said. I asked, can defenses return in 2021? It's Dan Matthews in for Chuck here on a Friday. And I bring this up because I mentioned Aaron Murray earlier. And by the way, speaking of the SST digital platform that we have, by the way, if you have not downloaded the Southern Sports Today app, I don't know what you're waiting on, because if you ever miss this show, then you can get it in its entirety when we post it up on the podcast afterwards. Or if you want to listen to it in the 2-hour increments after we go off the air in the midday, you can do that. That's there as well. Remember, we've told you about the work that we're doing with Landry Football and the Landry Football podcast channel, where you get SEC football and beyond. That's me and Chris. You get the Landry Football podcast. You get Scout's Eye on pro and college football, as well as with our good buddy Ryan Fowler. You get the Alabama Football Scouting Report every Wednesday to you. And now, in addition to all of that that we just mentioned, the Punt and Pass podcast with former Georgia punter Drew Butler and former Georgia record-setting quarterback Aaron Murray. And Aaron Murray said something pretty interesting yesterday on the show, and it's up on the SST app and also to wherever you get your podcast needs. But he threw out the idea that maybe defenses could take a step forward in 2021. And at first you're thinking of it and you're like, there's still really good quarterback play. Spencer Rattler's still in the game. JT Daniels. People are very high on Max Johnson at LSU, what he can do this year. DJ Uiagalelei, what he can do. I mean, even some other quarterbacks that you're not talking about. Phil Jurkovich at Boston College. The names go on. There's plenty of really good quarterbacks. And quarterback play is still going to be dominant in the game. There's no doubt about it. But I started to look at it and I started to think about it. And I said, Aaron might not be wrong. Let's take Alabama, for example, and what they have coming back this season, because it's so easy to form an opinion on what you know. It's hard to really not sound hot takey and come out and say something. So I'm not going to be hot takey, but I'm going to say, based off what I know with Alabama, and also, too, I'm not so sure what the offense will look like in terms of pace and regularity of going down the field, all those different types of things. I'm not saying that Bill O'Brien's not going to take his shots, but I also think Bill O'Brien is the type of coach that looks at and says, what do I have? What's my strength? Ooh, Brian Robinson Jr., Jace McClellan. That running back room looks good. And on the defensive side of the ball, I know they're going to be able to get us back the football, so I want to be able to help them out a little bit too. It's not out of the realm of possibility. And Athens, with the injuries that they've had now to George Pickens, we don't know what's going to happen with Arik Gilbert. Is Jermaine Burton necessarily going to be 100% to play in that very first game? Could Georgia, and I know that this is something that Georgia fans don't want to hear, but at least early on in the season again, could we be seeing maybe not as much an opening up of the offense and maybe a little bit more of a reliance on the running game than they had possibly hoped? Maybe. They got the players to do it. Zamir White just picked second team All-SEC by, I believe, the coaches, but regardless, still a player that a lot of people think can have a huge 2021 season. James Cook, same deal. Kendall Milton, same deal. And that offensive line, trying to figure it out, because that's going to be a bear of a challenge in that very first game against Clemson. Even as simple as Auburn. Now, I know that Auburn continues to have their troubles on the offensive line, but Tank Bigsby, probably going to be their best offensive player back this year. That defense, still a strength with Derek Mason on that side of the ball. I could see it. Even at LSU, now I know some people are going to say, Dan, that defense was awful last year. There's plenty of talent on that defense. That defensive line is strong. That secondary, there's some questions at safety. Some people are saying that Major Burns is fitting in very well and making a huge difference there at the safety spot. And then linebacker, you get Mike Jones in. Damone Clark's still there. That defensive line's still strong. And then you got the two best corners in the country. You've got the best tandem of cornerbacks in the country on the field with Derek Stingley and also Eli Ricks this year. That's a possibility. Florida's going to be improved defensively. And I know some people saying, Todd Grantham's still there. Okay. Todd Grantham is there. And Todd Grantham has had some defenses in the past. As a matter of fact, that's been his calling card when he's at his best, is being able to do two things and do two things very, very well. Get to the quarterback and get the football back. And if they can do that this year, then that's what you're going to ask for out of that Florida defense. Because to say that that defense is what cost them at the end of the season, them playing poorly against LSU cost them in that game. Them not playing up and playing that game the way they should have, that's what cost them that game. And then to say their defense cost them against Alabama, everybody's defense cost them against Alabama last year. They were tremendous. They were record-setting. They were great. And then in the bowl game, all right, fine. You can say what you want about the bowl game, the opt-outs, everything like that. But to say that it's all on Todd Grantham, which, by the way, why do we do that? Why do we seemingly, maybe not as much anymore, give the offensive coordinator a pass? Because I do think that probably when it comes down to it, defensive coordinators are the ones that seemingly don't get as much the ire, because there's probably not as many eyes on what is being called and what the result is from said call than there is on the offensive side. The offensive side, they make the game go. The defensive side, they react. And a lot of times you could probably have an awful coverage called, but who's to say that you don't have an outstanding player on the field who made up for bad call and was able to clean up your mess? And sometimes that is the case. But to say it's all on Grantham? So long story short, that is going to be an improved defense. And then Texas A&M is one as well that I wanted to talk about a little bit earlier with the decision-making and bringing in Haynes King, is that I think at least from the decision-making process for Jimbo Fisher, he looked at it and said, quarterback's what's winning right now. And I got to have somebody out there that can at least give me both the passing and also the 4.5/4.40 speed that he's got, and add that element to it as well, because I need to have a difference maker at that position. I'm not saying that Zach Calzada can't be that guy, but Haynes King right now was the better option for you. And that running back room, I've said it once and I'll say it again, best in the country. Isaiah Spiller, we're not talking enough about Isaiah Spiller. We're talking more about Anaya Smith for right reason, and same with Devin Achane, but we're forgetting about a guy that was a 1,000-yard rusher last year and very good, and an offensive line that is much improved and very good, and a defense as well with Mike Elko, who, if he plays his cards right, he's probably finally getting that phone call to come in and be a head coach somewhere. So defense this year, possibly taking a step forward. Aaron, I don't think you're wrong, because it's also as well, I mean, there are the tops at quarterback in the conference. I mean, we know what we have in JT Daniels. We think we know what we have with Max Johnson. There's doubt in Bo Nix. And in Bryce Young, people are already betting on him to be great from the beginning as well. I don't think that people are throwing their opinion out there just on a whim. I think they're throwing it out there with obviously the recruiting hype he had coming in and what he was supposed to be in Nick Saban's program. And he could still be that this year. Is it going to be what Mac Jones and that offense had last year? Not at the beginning, I don't think. Because I think the smart thing is going to be, hey, I know what I have in that running back room. I believe I know what I have with John Mechie. Jameson Williams is supposedly showing some good things offensively for us. But again, I know what I have over there. Worst case scenario, if I need to be able to go back on the foundation of what I believe I have offensively this year, I think that Alabama will say, hey, slow it down a little bit. Let's go half-court offense here. And let's be able to keep the football away from them. And then when we give them the football, Will Anderson and that defense are getting after your quarterback, and they're able to come up with some huge turnovers and be able to flip the game that way. So defense this season, at least in the SEC, maybe taking a step forward, I could see it. And I've said it before as well. The two things you got to do, I got to affect the quarterback, and I got to get turnovers. And if you're able to do that, people give up huge plays. That happens. That's the name of the game now, especially with these wide-open offenses and the pacing and everything that you have. But could we possibly see the points come down this year, especially now that we've had more practice time? Maybe. That's hour one. Hour two next, Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.